Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Do you ever wonder what it's like to go from game show contestant to game show contestor? Mommy Rocco can answer that question, being one of the experts on GSN's best ever trivia show, hosted by Sherry Shepherd. She will when she joins me next. A classic daytime program for kids returns to Nickelodeon next month. Blue's Clues and You has new episodes, adventures, and hosts, all surrounding that computer-animated Blue. Original Blue's Clue co-creator Tracy Page Johnson will be here next half hour with all the details. Also ahead, Disney Plus has puppets talking, our classic trivia question, and an up double dip. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in that hour. A wonderful Friday afternoon to you at all, and welcome once again to the program All About Television. 64 degrees, top of the hour here in New York. Some wonderful guests coming your way over the next hour, and we invite you to be interactive with us. How? You pick up the phone and you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are texting across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. If you're shy about using the phone, that's no problem with us because we got a chat room for you and we already have a person in that room. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Mommy Rocco from Best Ever Trivia Show joins us from L.A. after these news notes. A puppet talk show is en route to Disney Plus, courtesy of Jim Henson's production company. In this case, Earth to Ned, the puppets are Alien Ned and Sidekick Cornelius, quizzing celebrities inside their underground spaceship below the surface of our planet. Pop culture topics will be highlighted on this half-hour journey into the conversation zone. Staying with unscripted developments, HBO Max will give 10 florists the chance to blossom their talents and careers on Full Bloom. I'm not kidding. That is the title of the show. Over 8 episodes, contestants will design and deliver floral presentations for surprise delivery. Eureka Productions, the originators of the summer ABC sensation Holy Moly, starring Golden State Warriors superstar Stephon Curry, will feed this series. Now, our chief content officer Ted Sarandos will begin 2020, winning the Producers Guild of America's annual Milestone Award. He'll receive it January 18th in Los Angeles. And then the last hour, the CW gave its 2 fall freshman series, Batwoman on Sunday nights, Nancy Drew on Wednesdays, full season orders. And that is news notes for today. You ever want to be a game show host or a game show contestant? Or how about this? Be a game show contestant and then turn around and maybe in an expert role deny others from winning. Well, that is exactly what our first guest is involved with on the weekday afternoon GSN series Best Ever Trivia Show, hosted by Sherry Shepherd. Joining us live from Los Angeles, Muffy Morocco. Muffy, welcome in.
Hello. Hi
there. It's a pleasure to have you. Hello, it is great to have you with us. And what is it like for you to be on the other foot, let's say, of what you did before? Whether rather than be a contestant trying to win money, you are, with your expertise, trying to vet other contestants from winning money.
You know, it's almost equally nerve-wracking, but in a different way, which is that, you know, you've got your nerd pride on the line. And you want to make sure that you do come off as knowing things, because that's my job on the show, is to try and know things and basically protect that bank. But at the same time, it's actually really gratifying when people win, because it means they really know their stuff, and it feels like I'm rooting for them. It feels like I gave away the money.
Did you ever see The Chase, which was a GSN favorite from a number of years ago, and see Mark the Beast?
I was actually on The Chase twice.
So you've had experience with that man, and I saw him when he did with Brooke Burns, the host, did a special event here in New York several years ago. And first of all, I tell you, he's an amazing person in both stature and in knowledge. And I'm wondering if you used him as a role model, not just you, but the other experts on Trivia Show.
You know, Mark Labette is the Beast. He is an amazing trivia mind, and I always wondered how he did it. I don't actually know, other than he's just obviously really, really good at it. But I did try to emulate this idea that I had to brush up on things I didn't necessarily know. So, which was something I know he did moving from the UK to the US. You have to learn some sort of local trivia. So I tried to learn things that I didn't necessarily know off the top of my head.
By the way, how do you prep for a show like this? Because you're taping multiple episodes in a day. You're also with other experts. Do all of you go through the same paces to get your knowledge together, or do you have like different techniques and you share them with your fellow experts?
Everybody's a little different. You know, Raj, one of our experts, has this comprehensive notebook he keeps where he writes down different things. I try and do that, but I find that it helps me if I do like lists of things and like start to associate things instead of just one-off facts. Some people we like to, our lunch times were always spent quizzing each other. When you get this many trivia experts together, all you do when you have your lunch break is just sit there and say, did you know, did you ever hear, and quiz each other. And some people like to read books. Some people like to discuss it. Everybody's got a slightly different vibe.
So, Mommy, give us your game show background. You mentioned you did The Chase not once but twice. How did you decide I want to be a contestant?
Well, you know, my first game show appearance was many years ago when I was 15 years old on Teen Jeopardy. And at that time, I just, you know, loved the show, thought, why not? Wasn't a big deal at the time, really, it seemed. And then it became this sort of life-defining moment of having been on national television. I came across the opportunity to audition for The Chase many years later when I was a grown-up. And, you know, I thought, oh, I would like to try that again because I love trivia. I love to play, like, my weekly quiz at, like, a bar, that kind of bar trivia stuff. And, yeah, I got onto The Chase, and from there, it's, you know, luckily being in L.A., there are opportunities to audition.
Mm-hmm. And how did the best ever opportunity come your way?
Funnily enough, in the most Los Angeles of fashion, my therapist emailed me. She came across the listing for the audition for contestants. And she said, I know you like to be on game shows because I've been on five of them. And so I went to audition as a contestant. And the coordinator actually said to me, well, Muffy, your name has come across our desk as to be an expert, as one of the experts, after she explained the format to me, which was, I guess, because I had been on The Chase twice for GSN. They knew I existed. So luckily enough, I got to instead go through the expert audition process.
Mm-hmm. And before you take the first episode, what kind of training did you put yourself through, particularly with, I'm curious, for subjects that you had very little knowledge in, how do you get the knowledge together? How do you, and not only how do you get the knowledge together, but how do you keep it all in the brain so that you can, you know, refer to it any time if the question pops up?
Well, I will freely admit, first off, that I don't know everything as much as I would really, really like to and as much as I sometimes act like I do. And so you have to admit what your weaknesses are. I tend to know the things that I'm not as solid on, but sometimes just brushing up on what you do know works because you start to just get into that mode of recalling things. In terms of preparing for the show itself, had us do some run-throughs just so we got comfortable with the format. But it was questions, you know, that we sort of saw over and over again. So we started to know the answers, obviously. I tend to try and brush up and just read and then try and write things down. I find the act of writing something really helps me remember it. And then I also find the sting of having missed something really helps me remember something. So I get so annoyed that I've gotten something wrong that I tend to not forget it after that.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Mommy Rocco. She is one of the experts on Best Ever Trivia Show. It's the new GSN game show that is on weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, hosted by Sherry Shepherd. Mommy joins us live from L.A. this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Appleton with you live from the other side of the U.S. of A, namely New York. 64 degrees at the top of the hour. And we want to hear from you. Be interactive with us. All you got to do is pick up the phone, make the dial. It's 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Monday on Smart TV Televised, the gallery of programming service available through your smart TV set or smart TV device continues to widen. We'll have another new network on our show Monday. It's called Carbon TV. It's all about the great outdoors, and you'll meet the president of the network, Julie McQueen, who incidentally, on an upcoming day, is going to actually award a prize for a contest that they have just launched. So Julie McQueen from Carbon TV, president of the network, she's live as our lead guest Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So give us the idea of Best, for those who haven't seen Best Ever Trivia Show, how does it work, and how are you and the other experts used?
So there are three contestants who all get to answer a question at the same time. They bring down one of the experts at a time, and if the expert answers the same question and gets it wrong, the contestants get extra points. If the expert is correct, they get just the regular points that they would get for having answered the question correctly. There's three rounds, and in the third round, it's actually a little different. The expert comes down and then says how confident she is about her answer before the contestants answer, and then they can either go with her answer for fewer points or go with their own answer for some more points, depending on their level of confidence. And then whichever of the contestants wins $1,000 and faces off against the expert who did the best over the course of the game for a head-to-head challenge to win $10,000.
And what's the schedule like for you and the experts? How many episodes do you take per day or whatever days you do it? And what is sort of like the day in the life of a day of tapings?
Well, we actually shot our entire season of 65 episodes, basically right back to back. It was up to 6 episodes in a day, which is, I can testify to this, quite exhausting by the end of the day. I wasn't sure I could answer any more questions, but you dig deep for it. And really it was, I think it was 3, break for lunch, 3 episodes, and we would mix it up. There's a panel of 8 experts, but only 3 are on a show at a time. So, you know, everybody would be facing somebody different. It could be Ken Jennings and me and Raj. It could be a different assortment of Ariana, Susanna, Jonathan, or Ryan, or David. And you never knew who you were going to face, and you would start to learn who was better at some topics, who was, weaker in some areas. And everybody did, face off against contestants in the final round in different ways. Even Ken Jennings got beat once.
Incidentally, what do you think of Ken?
Ken is great. He is a absolutely staggering trivia mind, and he is just a great person. He's funny. He's got a snarky little sense of humor, if nobody knew that. And it's just an honor and a pleasure to be able to play alongside him.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you were on Jeopardy in their teen tournament. And Alex Trebek, before he did Jeopardy, the host of that series, did a show called Double Dare, not to be confused with the super sloppy program that Mark Summers did for many years on Nickelodeon. And Double Dare was all about, in the bonus round, using a group of experts they called the spoilers. Do you and your fellow experts think of yourselves in this game show as spoilers for the contestants?
No, I think that's an interesting way to put it, but I feel like we are more like the big wall you got to climb over. an obstacle course. We're not there to ruin it for you. We're there to make it worth the challenge. And we are really rooting for the contestants, but we've got our own pride on the line to try and do the best that we can. It's always, you have respect for people who best you, but you hate being bested.
Mm-hmm. So is there a competition between you and these 7 other experts about how best do you do versus them?
Absolutely. In a very friendly way, but whichever expert answered the most questions correctly over the course of the episode was the one who would face off in the final round. And yeah, we were kind of keeping tabs, or we'd want to know who got to the end there if we were not filming that episode. But we all have respect for each other, and we all have different strengths, which is great. So you can always feel like, you're going to learn something from someone else.
Mm-hmm. Come on, with Sherry Shepherd. I've seen her host before on a game show, The New League. I thought she did very well with that revival of the series. I've also seen her be a contestant. Her recent bout on Celebrity Family Feud with Steve Harvey, the first question is a classic, by the way, of that show. What's she like as a host?
Sherry is great because she is just so warm and so fun and so friendly, and I think she just puts everybody at ease. And she makes it fun, and she's so self-deprecating when she doesn't know one or when she does know a question. And I think that's a big part of being a game show host is making it less intimidating for contestants who aren't always in front of a camera. And here you are being asked to know things and buzz things and have lights in your face, and I think that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Muffy, what do you think about the fact that in recent years we are seeing more women host game shows? Bill Burns hosted The Chase that you were on. Sherry does this show. Meredith Vieira is doing the new show, 25 Words or Less, which is now in syndication. It seems that more and more we are seeing women host the shows, and it has proven that if you give them an opportunity, they can do equally as well as anybody else.
I think it's fabulous. I mean, I think it's important to see women. I mean, women are half the population. It's important to see them in various roles, hear their voices, and I think they can bring a different energy sometimes, especially to something like the game show where it could be something intimidating. But I think, like, Brooke on The Chase was an amazing – she was just a great host because she would read, and you depended so much on her speed. And she, you also felt like she was really rooting for you against the Beast. And I think it's great to see more women in this role of the sort of the host and the leader and in front of the camera.
Yeah, when I watched The Chase, I was really impressed with Brooke and the fact that not only did she really have control of the game, but she also really was invested in the contestants. You could really hear, like, audibly from her, like, when she was disappointed with something happening, or, like, you're on the verge of beating Mark. You're on the verge, you know, it's like you're one away from him screwing up and getting the big money. And it seemed that she and I think she got better as she went along. And for those people who may have seen her earlier in Dog versus Dog, or Dog Eat Dog, the NBC show she did for a couple of seasons, it seemed that it was like a great night and day for her. The people there felt, well, Dog Eat Dog, she's not really much of the format. But in this show, she really had to be, she had to really take charge. And I thought she did a great job with that.
Yeah, I think, and that psychologically for me as a contestant did make a difference. I mean, I will admit I was also in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire as a contestant and actually as a plus one. And Chris Harrison is an amazing host for that. But part of his role is to also tease you. So and let you think you're wrong and your face falls. And then he says, oh, no, you actually had it right. And that's his job there. So it was not the same kind of rooting for me feeling from that.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, for those who don't know, Brooke and Mark were nominated for an Emmy Award for her work on The Chase. And The Chase was one of the first GSN game shows to be nominated for an Emmy, I believe, not once, I think, but twice at least, for Best Game Show, for a Daytime Emmy. So it was great to see them have that on. By the way, what was it like for you to be alongside Alistair Beck when you did the – talk more about, you know, having – you know, Chris is a host when you did Millionaire, and having Alex, of course, when you made your debut as a teenager on Jeopardy.
Well, when I was on Jeopardy, it was ages ago. Alex Trebek still had the mustache, but it was I was just this, you know, little high school sophomore from the Philadelphia suburbs, and I got to go and be on a TV set, and I was so nervous. The first, you know, they sort of let you run through. And I opened my mouth and nothing came out. And the, you know, contestant coordinators calmed me down. But it was just this sort of amazing experience of just seeing him for the first time. But he is, I think, no one could be better. I mean, the way he reads the questions, stays on top of the game, keeps it moving. It's just, he's a legend. And then Chris Harrison as a host was great. Like I said, he does that thing where he teases you, and he did it to me. He got me both times where I thought I was wrong, and I started to feel really disappointed, and then he reveals you're right, and it just, you freak out. And it's interesting how the format of a show can change what the job of the host is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. How do you and the other experts how do you keep from freaking out? What do you do? Do you try to calm yourself? Do you try to, you know, say to yourself, it's okay to be nervous. If I'm nervous, I'm present in what's going on, and I'm not, like, being robotic?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. No matter how many times I went out there and played, you're always still a little nervous just because it's cameras, it's showtime, it's real money, it's all of that. You do just sort of freak out a little. I don't know. I get, like, a kind of tunnel vision of adrenaline, where you're just like, okay, this is happening and nothing else is, and I'm here for this moment. And then afterwards, you just sort of deflate like a balloon. at least I do.
Marie Rocco is one of the experts on Best Ever Trivia Show. It's on weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on GSN, and she is with us live from Los Angeles. This half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment on Meeting Moments with Muffy, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple048. We have another person just joined us in the room, so get your comment in or make the call. Either way, we will hear you. Coming up, by the way, later this half hour, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. And if you know the answer, you can win the Monty Python FAQ book. And coming up next month on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will feature one of the co-stars of Disney Plus's new version of High School Musical. It's the weekly series High School Musical, The Musical. Co-star Matt Carnett will be joining us. We also have one of the writers and or directors of the show. That's 2 weeks from today, by the way, November 8th, right here live on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Of all the game shows you haven't done, Muffy, which one would you like to do?
You know, that's a good question. There's different ones out there. I think Wheel of Fortune would just be fun. I just want to spin that big wheel. I've been seeing that since I was, a kid, and it just looks like fun. But I don't know how good I would be at that show because I don't know if I have that kind of brain to do the fill in the gaps and keep track of everything.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have the opportunity with Pat and Vanna.
Absolutely. I mean, I would just love to see that set. I want to turn the letters. If Vanna ever, retires, I'm offering myself up for the job.
Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity a few months ago, Muffy, to see a taping of Pyramid here in New York. And I'm thrilled the show is back. I mean, Michael Strahan does a marvelous job. It really is something when you see the show in person and when you see that winner's circle, which I think is the best suspenseful 60 seconds of television ever created for a game show by that marvelous man, Bob Stewart, one of the great geniuses of game show television, incidentally. It really is, when you see the show in up close and personal, what do you think about it? Do you have more of an appreciation of how a game show gets put together?
Absolutely. I mean, there's everything, especially being able to have been on game shows and sort of have to walk to the set. You see not only the crew, but there are so many writers and researchers behind a show. There are the, standards and practices to make sure it's fair, all of that kind of thing. And I think game shows are so exciting because when you get out there and you see it's just a regular person, someone who walked out, put on like their nice top and like got in front of a camera. And they have something real on the line. It's exciting because it's a little bit like, some like sporting events, but they're professionals, they're athletes. That's what they've been doing for forever. This is usually a regular person dropped into the middle of something extraordinary. And that's what's exciting. And it's, a clock is ticking, questions are being answered, whatever it is. And I don't think you can replicate that in anything other than a game show.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite game shows of all time? If you were to put like a top two or three of your favorite games, games that you would either enjoy watching or would have wanted to have been on when they were on over the course of your life, what would they be?
Well, obviously I love Jeopardy because I love knowing things. I mean, I've loved all the shows I've been on. And I think from the past and now actually also back again, Press Your Luck, I was obsessed with that and the whammies. And I think Pyramid is great. I love that idea of having to, and like Password, like having to partner with someone is a real challenge too. And that's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of the remake of Press Your Luck this year with Elizabeth Banks host? Another example of a woman hosting, by the way, Elizabeth Banks.
I didn't actually get to see it. Mm. So I don't know, but I have to watch it because I love the whammies.
I think you will love it. I did see it. I thought they did a marvelous job. We had, John Quinn, the executive producer of the show, on our program. And I thought he was now doing Let's Make a Deal, replacing Mike Richards, who's moved over to Sony, where he will inherit Harry Friedman's job with both Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, speaking of those shows. And I thought he did a marvelous job. I think Banks was terrific. She really got the game. She was also executive producer on it. They did a great job with the whammies, a great job with the theme music. And I thought that they did a fantastic new bonus round where they had prizes that the winner of the bonus round were put together especially for that person. And I think it made the round a more intimate, personal round to go after. But and I thought that the show went really, really super.
Oh, that's a great way to do it. I love that idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I love Pyramid. I love Password. And Bob Stewart, who created both shows, he created the whole idea. I don't know if you're aware of this, he created the whole idea of celebrities and contestants working together. And I think that he really should get tremendous credit for that idea, because it really, I think, humanized the celebrities and also had the contestant on an equal playing field with the celebrity. And that's how they were able to win. When you see Pyramid, when a celebrity and a contestant are really connecting together, that's when the magic happens, especially in that winner's circle.
Absolutely, and I think that's that idea that you've got someone rooting for you who doesn't necessarily have a stake in the game except other than your success. That really is, that's so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Any word yet whether you're going to go back along with your fellow experts for a second round of the show?
We haven't yet heard about Pickup for the second season. I know they've got Common Knowledge and America Says running right now. I certainly hope so, because this is the opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, it's I got to go and be on TV and just know stuff.
No, absolutely. And incidentally, if you haven't seen America Says with John Michael Higgins, who won a Daytime Emmy nomination for hosting this year, do see it. It is now not only on GSN, it's also in syndication. America Says, by the way, has been promoted this year to 9 p.m. It's now on primetime 5 nights a week. And incidentally, the syndicated ratings are moving up. So congratulations to everybody involved in putting that show together. We had a producer on earlier this year. Anyway, Best Ever Trivia Show, hosted by Sherry Shepherd. You can see it on GSN weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time, Muffy being one of the experts on the program. And if you want more details about the program online, go to www.gsntv.com. That's www.gsntv.com. And check your local listings for GSN is available in your area on cable and satellite. Once again, Best Ever Trivia Show, weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on GSN. Muffy Rocco, thank you again for joining us. Pleasure to have you aboard. Hopefully many more seasons to come as either a contestant or on this show, and it's a pleasure to have you with us. Have a fantastic weekend, and thanks again for being aboard.
Thank you so much for having me, and you have a great weekend too.
Will do, Muffy. All the greatest. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Muffy Rocco from Los Angeles joining us live from Best Ever Trivia Show on GSN. More tomorrow on Televised, our Clap Trivia question coming up in a moment. First, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for an unusual novel experience, try this one, Wild Game, My Mother, Her Lover, and Me by Adrienne Bordeaux. It's a very unusual novel, and you can hear it now as one of your three free audiobooks for a trial run at Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 180,000 titles to choose from any moment, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing this on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. Get three free audiobooks, two of them being Audible Originals, and 1 month trial of the service. By the way, more and more Audible Originals are being made by Audible. It's everything from original audio productions, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater across the U.S. of A., and one-woman, one-man shows. And remember, again, you can hear them on any device. You get three audio books, two of them Audible Originals, when you go for that one-month trial. And afterwards, you do subscribe up to three audio books every single month. Remember, audibletrial.com/televised. That's how you learn how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Now it's time for our Clap Trivia Question of the Week. And if you first win the correct answer, you will win the Monty Python FAQ book. All that's left to know about spam, grail, spam, nudging, bruises, and, of course, spam by Chris Prasanti, Brian Cogan, and Jeff Massey. Here's the question. Who was the first actor to play Sherlock Holmes on U.S. television back in 1954? Who was the first actor to play Sherlock Holmes on U.S. television back in 1954. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you missed the question just now, if we don't repeat it today, we'll post it tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so. And all the very best. Coming up, one of the co-creators of one of the best-loved children's programs of recent decades, Blue's Clues, is back. with Blue's Clues and You, premiering next month on Nickelodeon. And there's even more than that. Co-creator and executive producer Tracy Paige Johnson joins me after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradioandspeaker.com. Together we're on 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Sports Beat Radio, all the greatest in the world of sports. Big weekend ahead, college football, pro football, hockey, NBA now back in action, MLS playoffs, a whole lot more. Check out Sports Beat Radio today, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And remember, best beat chart 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Beat Televised. Well, those who are just joining us at the bottom of the hour, Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Great guests coming your way in the half hour ahead, plus a double dip of our Up segment as an update where we catch up on guests and topics we've had in this program. And we want to hear from you, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. In 1996, Nickelodeon premiered a very unusual series that turned out to be an instant classic, Blue's Clues, about a dog, about a guy named Steven, and about, well, a wonderful journey into the world of kids' imagination and learning. The show ran for 6 seasons, it won lots of awards, and was critically acclaimed for how it got kids involved in a very interactive and intimate way. Well, on November 11th, Blue's Clues is back. New episodes, new adventures, new hosts, and a whole lot more. Joining us live from New York, an internet radio exclusive, one of the co-creators and executive producers of Blue's Clues, Tracy Paige Johnson. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Tracy, it's a pleasure to have you on. First of all, congratulations on bringing Blue's Clues back, along with you and Todd Kessler and Anderson Morrow.
Thank you. We are just so honored to be bringing Blue to another generation. It's just been such a wonderful family reunion. It's just been a blast. And our new guy, Josh, is so fantastic, and we can't wait to share him with the world.
Why was now, 20-plus years after Blue's Clues started on Nickelodeon, why was it now the time to bring this character and this series back?
I think the planets became aligned again. You know, a lot of the kids who grew up on Blue's Clues or babysat kids who grew up on Blue's Clues or brothers and sisters of kids who grew up on Blue's Clues are starting to have kids of their own. And I think, you know, wanting to share that nostalgia with them. And then I think also, you know, there is, with all the landscape of so many choices out there in television and film and media and streaming, there's been, you know, sort of a redirect back to well-loved brands. And, you know, especially in today's world with all the craziness, there's some comfort of just going back to the simpler times. And, you know, again, Nickelodeon had the great idea of, you know, now's the time. And it's time to bring, to share the learning and Blue and, you know, the interactivity. Now that we can really truly do the interactivity, it's time to bring it back, and we're just thrilled to be here.
Yeah. I mean, people may not know that when Blue's Clues started back in 1996, ran for 6 seasons, there were no things as cell phones or smartphones or smart TV sets or smart TV devices. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, we were just gonna, I was just going to say, you know, there was no true interactivity. You know, our interactivity was just kind of pretending and playing along. So Steve would pause and we would, you know, wait for the kids to answer at home. So it really felt that they were interacting. And now it's just been incredible. You know, we're doing this whole play along video where with the episode will be on the kids' tablets and they'll be able to, you know, truly answer Josh back and move the story along and pick the right answer. And the interactivity is just incredible.
Mm-hmm. How did, by the way, all three of you, Angela and Todd, come up with the idea of Steven, the lead character, pausing to let the child act or interact with what was going on
right.
the screen?
You know, that
did you think
from,
that yeah.
No, I'm sorry. There seems to be a delay. I'm sorry for this awkward dance back and forth.
No problem.
Well, we, you know, it came from Nickelodeon wanted to do a game show for preschoolers, and you know, that was popular at the time was Double Dare, things like that. They were thinking, let's do a game show, but for preschoolers. And it really was Angela Santomero, who came from the research background at Nickelodeon. She was researching the shows, knew that kids would really talk back. And if you had that pause, that they would talk back. And it was just really waiting and having that live action person look into the camera and break that fourth wall and ask you a direct question. It just draws them in and into the story. And we did find at the very beginning, that's why we have the kid VOs in there, is that to kind of let kids know that, you know, you can talk back to this. So when you watch the show, you'll hear kid voiceover say, there's a clue. And it kind of clues in our home audience to feel free to talk and interact. And once in that first 7 seconds, if that invitation to interactivity is opening, then boom, we got them and they're hooked in.
And that pause, Tracy, actually ended up being a cue for Nickelodeon to do it with other shows, most notably Dora the Explorer, where you had that pause
right
in the middle of various points, and other shows where they would pause, you let the kids act or interact from home, and then, boom, back to the story.
Exactly. And it is true that, and that's, you know, part of our mission, or our mission is to challenge empower and build the self-esteem of preschoolers, all while making them laugh. That interactivity and that feeling that you're actually answering Josh and Steve's and Joe's questions, that's very empowering for a kid, and especially that it's a, you know, an older person asking for help. It's just such a great feeling. And I think that's why, you know, when we Nickelodeon premiered that little clip of Steve being on the Josh's handy dandy notebook phone and asking for help again and asking for the audience to help Josh, we got that crazy viral sensation of all these 20 and 30 year old kids, you know, crying, saying, Steve, back, he asked me to help. You know, there was just such this emotional connection. And it was actually quite a big feat to make that move to the, you know, there was a lot of meetings about the handy dandy notebook and how to modernize, because, you know, we knew we had a big fan base and we wanted to stay true to the classic. But we also know that times have changed and preschoolers' lives are filled with digital devices. So we finally came around to just compromising, because we didn't want to lose the handy dandy notebook and have that, you know, preschool readiness skill of drawing and fine motor skills. But we also knew that we wanted to be true to preschoolers' life of, you know, they're FaceTiming all the time with their parents while they're at work, you know, taking pictures. So then we just put the notebook phone on the back, and it's been a wonderful new modern addition to be able to call Steve and Joe or the other characters and take pictures. You know, we've really involved the handy-dandy notebook phone into a lot of the day-to-day activities now.
Yeah. And the fact that that book now can take video calls reminds me to say that next month Facebook is launching a product called Portal TV, where you can take a plug-in, put it on your television set, and you can do video calls with people.
Wow. Fun.
Yep, $150. When we started to regroup everybody, how long did it take to find the new host, to find Josh?
That was Nickelodeon. They were amazing. They put out we looked at over 3,000 people, I would say over a period of maybe 5 or 6 months. And, you know, we did an open call at Nickelodeon Studios, but we looked everywhere of casting all over internationally, United States, major cities, little cities. You know, people could just send in their tapes, and it was, you know, 3,000 people. We were open to boy, girl, black, white, you know, all different shapes and sizes of just who could connect to the audience at that. You know, when we would audition people, we'd have a video screen in the audition room. So we weren't looking at them live. We would look at them live through the TV and look at the screen, because that experience can be very different when you're looking live or when you're on the screen. And Josh, you know, immediately the first time we saw him, we knew there was something special there. And then we had callbacks and a few more callbacks, and then it was down to like the last four or five, and it was a fun experience. We had Steve has come back as a consulting producer, and he helped final direct, you know, our last five candidates, and it was quite an adorable scene because he was there. We didn't tell the performers that Steve was there. He kind of just came back after we ran through the lines, and he said, "Hi, I'm Steve. I'm, you know, just going to give you some pointers and stuff." And the looks on their face were like, oh! It was so great, so fantastic, and Josh especially. But Steve has been so wonderful of passing the baton and, you know, helping Josh give the, you know, use all those tools in the toolkit. And what are those tools of, you know, not talking to a whole big audience, just pretend there's one kid out there that you're talking to and make that connection with it. And what his other line is that always, you know, that kid is super cool. You're not sure he's going to help, he or she's going to help you, but you're going to ask so that when they say yes, you're like, oh, thank God. So, you know, Steve has been fantastic in, you know, writing and directing as well. So we're glad to have him back in the family.
And, of course, we're talking about Steve Burns, who was the original host of Blue's Clues. And the new host, Josh, is Joshua De La Cruz, a Broadway talent, by the way, who is in the Broadway production of Aladdin, among other things. And he's had a very interesting background.
Yeah, he came from performance theater, and he did Aladdin, and one thing that really spoke to us of Josh is his genuineness with kids. You know, when he was auditioning, we went to Aladdin to see him perform, and he was amazing, but he, you know, took us backstage, and, you know, he was showing us around, but these, you know, little kids came to, you know, see Aladdin, and he just crouched down to their level, just gave them their full attention. And we all looked at each other like, oh, you know, he just has such a big heart. And it really shows through the camera as well. He's just genuinely all there. And having grown up, you know, he had some relatives from the Philippines who came, and they were learning English through Blue's Clues. And he was watching Blue's Clues with them. And he claims that the Mail Time song was one of the first songs that he sang. So he had it deep in his heart, you know, he could feel the love for Blue's Clues, and it absolutely showed through his audition. And, you know, we have our handy dandy guitar now that he brings out, and just his Broadway background of, you know, dancing and the moves and the singing has just been so much fun to play with.
You're hearing Tracy Paige Johnson. She was the co-creator and executive producer of the original Blue's Clues, which ran on Nickelodeon's preschool schedule from 1996 to 2003. Now she is back with Blue's Clues and You, along with the rest of the crew, and it premieres on November 11th at 9 a.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Nickelodeon. And there's more to that. We'll get to that in our next segment. Tracy joins me here in New York this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appleman with you live from New York. Happy you with us this Friday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in on Blog Talk Radio Speaker or the IR Radio Podcast Network. And we want to hear from you. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have Julie McQueen, the president of Carbon TV, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place with us on Monday. Carbon TV is a network all about the great outdoors, and she will be our lead guest. And 2 weeks from today, we'll have one of the co-stars of Disney Plus's new series, High School Musical, The Musical, Matt Cornett. Plus, we hope to have one of the writers or directors. That's 2 weeks from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Contrast what it took to produce an episode of Blue's Clues way back when with how long it takes to produce an episode now.
Sure. Well, way back when, we were pretty breakthrough in that we were the first show that was fully animated on a Macintosh computer. We used a program called After Effects because it was very simple cutout animation. You know, and we would do a season at a time. We would shoot, you know, a few episodes in a row. And then, you know, once the script was written, storyboard, shoot it, and then start animating. And it would take like 6 months to have a show from top to finish, maybe, you know, 9 months. And now we're just as breakthrough in the sense that we're the only kids show out there now that is animated in 2D, 3D, because Blue is new and improved and is a 3D CG animated. So she's more fluffier and huggable than ever, and still our live action. So we're the first show that's mixed media in all those three mediums. It takes a little longer. It's about a year from start to finish.
How many episodes are you doing this time around compared to the opening season, let's say?
Well, we have it's about the same. We premiered with 20 episodes, I think, and now we're premiering with first season will be 20 episodes. I think we're dropping the first three in the premiere. What we love more about in this new world, again, is more of the technology and the social media aspect, and the communication with our audience is so much more fluid. And just this nostalgia piece, too, which has just been so fun with Nickelodeon and everybody just being able to be part of a community in welcoming Josh. And just the play-along video stuff, we're just so thrilled about of where we are being breakthrough in that we're the very first tablet episodes in these play-along videos where there's live action. So Josh actually talks to the camera, you know, and when he washes the paw print away from the screen, he hands you a little napkin, you know, through the screen. You grab it with your finger and you can wipe away the paw print. But if you take that and you wipe it on his nose or his belly, like he giggles and laughs, and he's actually relating to you, reacting and interacting with you as a live action character, which is just incredible. But the outpouring of, what Nickelodeon has set up and reaching out to Josh of being able to, you know, make welcome cards on the tablets and having the communication and Blue calling you, and it's just been such a dream come true. We just feel like all legs of the show keep out there. It's great.
Yeah, and also, Tracy, something else is, we mentioned smart TV sets and devices, is that there is an element of smart TV sets and devices here, thanks to Noggin, which is presented on both, which is Nickelodeon's longtime preschool service. It used to be a separate channel. Now it's a smart TV service. And you were talking about these play-along videos, and that's where you'll find them.
Yes, right. I think on Noggin and in the, they'll be on your tablets and iPads and iPhones. Smartphones, sorry.
And how tell me more about how these play-along videos work. What kind of subject matter do you just take them off the episode? Do you try to dive into some different
parts? They do start with the extended play. So they will take an episode, like say our first one is Snack Time. And it takes you through the episode, so it kind of starts the same. But the play is extended in a way for even more interactivity. So actually when you find a clue, you know, the paw print might be under something that you have to use your finger to search and find on the desk. So it won't be, you know, right out in the open. You have to search for it a little more. And then one of my favorite new inventions with this play-along video is that you actually get to draw in the notebook what the clue looks like and decorate the clue. And then when Josh, at the very end, when he pulls up the notebook and the clues come overhead, it's the clue that you drew and colored. So it is so personalized. So, you know, they extend the play that way. They extend the play in some of the layers of the game so you get more educational value. And then, so they do the episodes, but then they also go on, as I was saying before, you know, there's extra content too. So like with this new first episodes, you can make a welcome card for Josh. So you get to draw your own card, make your own card, and put it in mailbox and send it to Josh. And then you get to see Josh open your card and, you know, say thank you. And you feel like you've had a real interaction with Josh. So it's not only the episodes, but even more extended content.
To Nickelodeon's great credit, Tracy, a number of Blue's Food News episodes have been seen for the last few weeks on Vudu, the video on demand service that is run by Walmart. Have you gotten any feedback, by the way, on the Vudu run of some of the episodes?
Yeah, I think only fantastic stuff, more things of, you know, we've gone viral for sure in just those segments of when Josh calls Steve and Joe on the handy dandy notebook phone and, you know, getting the band back together. People are just, you know, it's ticking all the boxes of the, for the young, you know, new and fresh, and then the nostalgia aspect. And then, yeah, just the outpouring has been incredible with people's love for Josh. And there was that great meme of going around. I think, you know, there was a nice shot of Josh from Aladdin that people were very excited that not only was Josh a wonderful host on Blue's Clues, but also easy on the eyes or nice to look at, that he was a, what did they call it? I can't remember. A thirst trap. In social media, just that whole thing of people wanting him, wanting to see more of him, and he went viral. He's so modest and adorable about it, but the outpouring of support for the show has been fantastic. And we were a little nervous sometimes, you know, when you have big fan base like in Star Wars or Star Trek, and you reboot something, you know, you have a lot of eyes on it. But we worked really hard in, again, balancing that line of bringing back the classic elements and then refreshing the new elements with the, you know, new host, new color shirt, the blue striped shirt instead of the green, refreshing, and then blue as a CG animated, and our handy dandy notebook phone, and all the new technology. We feel like we got the formula right, and we're very excited.
What was it like? Speaking of recapturing, what was it like to bring as many of the original people back behind the scenes, and Steven, and the new and Josh, the new folks, to
and
bring
Josh.
Everybody back together and try to bring them what made it work, to make what made it work originally, and come back and work again?
Yeah, it was a, you know, they say you can't go back, but you kind of can, or, you know, it was like a family reunion, but just in a wonderful way, and that you know, with the support of Nickelodeon, and, you know, Angela and I have just having a blast of, you know, looking of what we wanted to refresh, what wanted to stay the same, and then getting Steve on board, and then casting in all the support of Nickelodeon and old, you know, writers and producers on board again. It's honestly, it's just, I feel like I keep pinching myself, because it's like going back to those glory days of Blue's Clues, but we're all, you know, more mature and more appreciative and, you know, have had kids of our own and who grew up with the show. So it's been fun for them too, of, you know, helping pick a host and asking them, you know, their thoughts, like, should we do this or that? You know, it's just fun to have the next generation helping form, you know, this new Blue's Clues. But Nickelodeon has been a dream come true, and it's just been such a joy. But also the audiences out there, it's fun to see new kids reacting, and how that same classic formula of taking a pause, you know, kids want to be listened to. And actually we feel like the pendulum, you know, we came out with Blue's Clues, you know, because we wanted to talk to kids. And then, you know, in the past 20 years, all the craziness of all the technology and all the noise and everything out there, it's kind of time to take that pause again and a deep breath and slow down and just look at the camera and ask a question and have that quiet interactivity, that it was time again.
Tracy, final question. It's very clear that in the last year, interactive television, which many people thought would never happen in our lifetime because of all the fits and starts and experiments and trials that unfortunately didn't go anywhere for one reason or another, we now are seeing this era happen because of Bandersnatch, because of things like Choose Your Own Adventure or Direction Programming, Food Network Kitchen lost earlier this week, where you can order groceries and other kitchen utensils. You can participate in live interactive cooking classes. You can call up 80,000 recipes with your fingertips using your voice and put them on the television set. At some point, do you see interactivity happening with Blue's Clues? Let's say the kids at home can choose which way the plot goes, or call up segments of episodes, or things like that. But where do you see interactive television, let's say, playing a role in the future?
Yeah, you know, we were... Yeah, we were experimenting. Preschoolers is kind of a tricky group, or not tricky, but very simple in that they're still young. You know, our age demo is 2 to 5. And there has been, you know, when we first started, we were talking about, you know, dual interactivity where you had, you know, an iPad and you were drawing the clues or having something happen on the screen and then you, you know, you tap it on your screen. And we actually did some research with kids and we found with this age group, it's just, it's a more powerful, empowering experience just to focus on one screen and not have kind of a dual screen or have to hold a remote in, you know, choosing your adventure or doing that. But that's why the play-along video is so fantastic because it is one screen and you're just tapping the screen. You don't have to hold a remote or do other things. Because I, you know, especially with the research that Angela Santomero has done, it just feels that this is the right way to do it. And that we don't have to push the double screen or any of that too far right now. That right now it's just that one-to-one with Josh and the one screen is enough. And it, and you know, you don't need all the other bells and whistles to go along with it. So I think we'll be keeping, you know, classic Blue's Clues and then certainly using the technology in that way. But as of now, I don't think there'll be like a remote or anything that you, you know, choose your own adventure that way. Maybe in play along where it's all one, you know, one screen and on the tablet for sure. But we do feel we're getting that bonus interactivity through the play along video of kids getting to draw their own clues and finding clues and helping Mr. Salt and Miss Pepper pack the groceries and feeling like you're doing a physical job of moving the story along.
Blue's Clues and You. It premieres on November 11th, Monday, 9 a.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Nickelodeon. Check Nickelodeon for where that network is available to air on K1 Satellite. And you can see the original Blue's Clues episodes on Noggin, which is available on smart TV sets and smart devices. That's also where you can find original play-along videos of this brand-new series. For more details about the program online, you go to www.nick.com, www.nick.com. And don't forget, you can see at least one episode of Blue's Clues and You on Vudu, the Walmart video on demand service. Vudu.com has all the details. Tracy Pace Johnson, congratulations to you, Todd, Angela, everybody involved for bringing a great series back, better than ever. And I wish you the very, very best for another long run.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Tracy Paige Johnson, co-creator, executive producer of Blue's Clues and You, joining us live from New York. Before we do not come into the Up segment, we'll do that on Monday, when Julie McQueen of Carter TV presents, that she will be our lead guest. If you came to Landscape's program, or catch up on episodes you missed, go to blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast over this weekend on iTunes, Apple TV, Speakers Podcast app, and the iRadio Podcast Network. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, especially those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, production associate is Candace Williams, Jake Sonberg's executive content producer, and the co-founders of BTR, Alan Levy and Bob Charish. Tomorrow's Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. We have a fantastic weekend ahead. We're back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.